Good morning once again.
Good morning.
And it is a joy truly to be here with you all and see you again. I was here last week and the phone didn't ring saying stay away. So your lucky day. I'm back. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, from shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name. He lifted me. He lifted us. Rahab, we were hearing last time, was a harlot in Jericho. There she was. Reading about her, we wouldn't have believed it, but the Bible tells us. And there she was in this great walled fortress city called Jericho. It repelled all invaders and entrapped its inhabitants there within its walls. A gate was there, controlled to let in and to keep in. And so that was the situation where Rahab lived. That was where her life took place. But messengers came, spies from the wilderness where Joshua was. Came to spy, to find out about that place, Jericho. And they come to where Rahab lived. And as we learned last time, if the Bible hadn't have told us they were spies, we wouldn't have believed it, because the very night they got there, they were found out. It was known where they were, where they came from, what they were doing. And the king's soldiers were dispatched to capture them and to bring them into bondage. But Rahab, by faith, Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And she hid them there on the roof under the stalks of flax. That was her true calling, industrious, artistic, and brave. Rahab. She defied the king and pledged allegiance to the messengers of God's people from Joshua, whose name means deliverer. Rahab was a woman of faith. By faith, the harlot Rahab. Perish not with them that believe not when she had received the spies with peace. She was a woman of faith and of works. It says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by her works when she had received the spies and sent them out another way. Proof of her faith, her works, her works. The Lord sees faith. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God sees faith. That's all you need. Faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will save you forever. Man sees works. He sees, man sees us coming here. What are they doing? Is there more to life than I see every day? Maybe follow them in to this place. We have a testimony. Man sees what we do. Works, it says, as the body without the spirit is dead, without breath, so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Also, works are the breathing out of faith. You have faith first, works follow. Works are evidence of life. Rahab had a living faith. She hid the spies, she received them, and then sent them out another way. She risked all that she possessed or had ever known for the promise of new life, a spared life, a spared life. She sent away the king's soldiers. She said, they went that away. They were upstairs. They went that away. Brave. That was a death sentence for her, you know. But she had pledged a new allegiance to the Lord God. To the Lord God. After the soldiers left, she went up to where the men were. And before they fell asleep, she says to them, I know that the Lord, she claims him as her own, hath given you the land, and your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land, Jericho, faint because of you. And we heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites, which were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. She described the condition of the hearts of those in Jericho. They were terrified by the coming of the children of Israel. For the Lord, she says, your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Lord of the earth beneath. From sinking sand, he lifted me. Where was that great fortress built? It was built on sand. There. And unless we have a foundation built upon the chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are living in a foundation fortress on sand. In Joshua chapter 2, verse 12, she says to the two spies up on the roof, she pleads to them, she prays for deliverance. She says, "Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have." She asks for them. And then she says, "And deliver our lives from death." Finally, she's included with them. Deliver our lives. She puts herself last. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And the men answered her, "Our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Maybe no one ever had before, but they pledged to her that they would deal kindly and truly with her. She had a family, you see. She loved them. She loved her father. How sad he must have been to see her grow up and to be in the situation where she was in life. She loved her father and her mother and sister and brothers and all that they had. And says, "Deliver our lives." Paul, when he was imprisoned, he asked prayer too. He said he prayed for all the saints and then for himself. He was in prison. He didn't pray for freedom, but for the furtherance of the gospel message. He says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I might speak boldly as I ought to speak." Ephesians 6. She asked them to swear by the Lord, her God now. And she asked kindness for kindness, and they swear their lives to honor her request. Jesus encountered also a woman from Canaan. Her daughter, possessed by a demon, she said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." But he answered her not a word. Son of David didn't match with this Canaanite woman's faith. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." He that humbles himself shall be exalted. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. God the Lord withholds nothing from the cry of faith. Faith reaches beyond our walls of imprisonment. We read in verse 15 of Joshua 6, "Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall." She used a cord. A cord of flax, in all likelihood, because that was what she was trained to do. She worked with flax. Flax untreated on the roof merely hid the spies. Flax treated, woven, now frees them. She lowers them on the outside of the wall. None could leave that city. Satan's city is like that. But the gospel comes in. No bars can withstand it. No bars can withstand faith. Cords, cordage, rope, is ancient. They have found fossilized rope in France that they estimate to be 15,000, BC, 17,000 years old, they say. Woven rope. It's very old. They used to make it out of grass or date palm, flax, papyrus, leather, rope. Egyptians used rope for the pyramids to pull stones. 3500 BC. In China, 2800 BC, they began to use hemp and the weaving, intricate weaving of rope began and continues to this day. Did you know that about rope? I didn't until I looked it up. Rope has tensile strength, you see. It can pull things and hold things up. But it lacks compressive strength. You can't push a rope. That's what makes threading a needle so hard. It just doesn't hold up exactly the way you want it to. And once rope is purposefully sized and cut and spliced or assigned a function, the result is referred to as a line. It stops being rope and becomes a line. If you're on a boat, a sailboat, and you say, "What is that rope?" That's a bad word there. It's a line. It has a function. It might have another name. It might be a halyard or a stay. Or a shroud, or a sheet, but it's not a rope. So now you know, next time you're out sailing on your yacht, what to say and what not to say. Etiquette upon the ship. I was going to say boat, but my friend who was in the Navy, I say, "How's that boat?" And he says, "It's not a boat, it's a ship." You need that. Oh, anyway, hand slapped again. Woven cords are strong. The Bible says a threefold cord is not quickly broken in Ecclesiastes. ropes were used for the construction of the tabernacle in the wilderness that used to hold up the materials and the coverings of the tabernacle. They bound Samson with cords, remember? But the Spirit of God came on him, and it says that the cords which were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off of his hands. Strong in the spirit was Samson. Later they bound him to pillars with rope. Those didn't break, so he pulled down the pillars instead. Jericho was let down by cords into the dungeon of a prison. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah says in his book, chapter 38, that he sunk in the mire. And there he was in that dungeon. The drainage from above, the seepage from beneath, endured for faithfulness to God. And later cords were used to draw him out of the dungeon. Cords were used in the sacrifices ceremonially. One of the Psalms says, "This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And later in that Psalm, it says, "God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar." It was unnecessary, but it's part of it. Bind. Why? Because they bound the Lord Jesus with cords. That was unnecessary. Jesus went forth bearing his cross. But they bound his hands at one point and led him to face judgment of men. But he would go and face judgment for us. Cords indeed, my Savior bound thee. Strong, unbreakable, divined. Twined they were in long past ages out of love for souls like mine. Our Savior. And strong cords were used here by Rahab to lower the two messenger spies to safety outside the wall of the city. And there they are, safe outside, and Rahab up in the window, and she calls to them, and she directs their escape from her strategic vantage point, and she says, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards may you go your way." Safely outside, the men say, "We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear," meaning they would honor what they promised to do for her. She had allowed them to go free. She was justified by her works when she had received the spies and sent them out another way. They knew she was true. And they give her an instruction about that rope that had let them down. She says, they say to her, "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee." They changed the word, you see. She let them down by a cord. And there they were outside that city that they were to overtake. And they're looking up at the wall. And that strong, twined, intricate cord that let them down now appeared to be just a little scarlet thread outside the wall. Faith they needed. Faith. The scarlet cord eclipsed by the towering enormity of the mighty walls of Jericho. It looked like thread. You know, I have a picture here. You can't probably see what it is. Anyone see that? Maybe someone has binoculars. Just pass them around. You see, it's a spool of thread with a needle sticking out. You're thinking it looks like the Empire State Building from back there, but it's a spool of thread, you know. That's a real little thread. This picture is blown up quite a bit. It's the smallest spool of thread I've ever seen. You see his pencil there? Here, let me show you more. When in doubt, bring visual aids. So here's a more... So that's it. Here's the real size. Actually, that's probably bigger than the real size of that spool of thread. And then the deception lies in that. What you can't see is that it's not really a needle. It's actually a sculpture of a needle and thread. And it was sculpted on the point of a pencil. You see? So I put a pencil in there so you can kind of get an idea of just how eensy teeny tiny that spool and needle are. And then think of the thread. You know, that's on the tip of this pencil here, you know, right there. So, enough visual aids for you. That's what that scarlet cord looked like to those men when they were outside that gigantic wall of Jericho. And they must have thought, how are we ever going to tear this wall down at all? And they said, nevertheless, bind that scarlet thread in the window. It would be a sign for them. Jesus said, verily, I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, that's smaller than that spool of thread, by the way, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Faith saves. Scarlet thread, it speaks of death. Scarlet. The very dye came from the dying of a worm. In the Old Testament, prophesied of the Lord Jesus, saying, I am a worm and no man. The worm dies, and that's how they get that scarlet dye for fabric and for cordage. Bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. Why does it say that? Faith. Faith. Believe. Believe. They said, whoever shall go out of the doors of your house, once they're brought into your house, they're promising to protect her house. The blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. But whosoever shall be with you in the house, his blood shall be on our heads if any hand come upon him. And if you utter this, our business, we will be finished of the oath which you made us to swear. What if she told? There they are outside the city. She's safe inside. They start to see the little thread again. Not the cord. But blessed assurance. She says, when we come back to the land, bind the thread. She says, according to your word, so be it. She calls down. And she sent them away, and they departed. And then it says, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Now, she changed the word there. You say cord to thread to line of purpose. We talked about a line having purpose. And it's interesting that they really did use three different words regarding the very same rope that was used. The same thing. But the Bible uses three words for that same rope. Forgive me for saying rope, but we're not on a ship. So back to earth, you. Did you know that the word for cord that was used when she lowered them out of the window, it's the same word in the Bible for the word sorrows, pain, destruction, is used for the word cord. It's the same word. Just think about it. That's the meaning of it. She lets them down. There they go. Sorrow. She's separated from them and they from her. And they're going away. And she's still there. Sorrow. The word thread really means the word thread in the Bible. It's a simple word. And it comes from the same word as sewing. Thread. When they said it looked like a little thread to them, they meant it. But then the word line, she bound the line, the scarlet line in the window. It is the same word, not as sorrow, pain, and destruction, but it's the same word in the Bible in other parts for the words hope, expectation, and the thing that I long for. That is a lesson for us. That's how the scriptures work. That's how God communicates to us. From sorrow to something little like faith, to hope, a sure hope, an expectation, the thing that I long for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. She didn't wait an instant. She bound the line at once. And this must have encouraged them to look back and say, she didn't wait. She already has tied it in the window. And off they went to tell the good news to Joshua, the son of Nun. And they told him, truly the Lord has delivered unto our hands all the land, even the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Rahab said, the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. There she was in the wall, right between the two. She was up on the roof with her flax. Maybe at night she could see the stars. The God of heaven above. When she looked out her window, she saw the ground. He is the God of the earth beneath as well. You know in the story how the children of Israel circled that city wall for 7 days. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after that. They were compassed about 7 days, and they blew the trumpet and the walls went down. And the children of Israel, the army went in, and all the inhabitants perished there, and all was captured. The walls fell down. I've told this story before. We had walls growing up at our house. My father had built 2 walls down the side of our driveway. good walls. They held back the whole front yard and the side yard. And there they were. And year after year, they stood there until they started to bow inward and inward and inward until the driveway wasn't this big anymore. It was just a little too skinny, and my father called a worker he knew named Mr. Longo, who came. And he said, "The wall's no good." My father said, "It's a great wall. We built it ourselves. We had people put it in, trained men. It's no good because it doesn't have a foundation." And my father said, "Well, can't you fix it?" "Nope. We have to tear it down. It has no foundation." And my father said, "Okay, well, how are you going to do that?" And there was a very large man there that worked for Mr. Longa. He was just at least 9 or 10 feet tall. And he had a shovel. And he took the shovel and he put it on the corner of the wall. And he went, boom. And half of the sidewall just fell right down into the driveway. And the man with the shovel said, "Nothing on nothing is nothing." And that's like the walls of Jericho. Are you trapped in a life of sin and fear? Believe on Jesus Christ. That wall that is imprisoning you has no foundation. Jesus will come and tear it down, and he'll put you on solid ground forever and ever. Jesus said that, and Jesus saves. You know, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10. The pulling down of strongholds. Even with something like a teeny little wisp of thread, the smallest faith will save you when you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The walls fell. The inhabitants were destroyed. All was captured. But Joshua had said to the two men that had spied out the country, "Go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she has, as you swear unto her." And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab. Now she's first. She'd put herself last, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them outside with the camp of Israel. The city was burnt with fire. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelt in Israel even unto this day, it says in Joshua 6. Because she hid the messengers which Joshua had sent to spy out Jericho. She lived, and her family lived. And she was the great-grandmother to David, the king. And she's in the lineage of Joseph, the father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And her name lives as an example to us of faithfulness and trust. Though she was a harlot, we know, if any be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Our God and loving Father, we thank thee for your scriptures and for the lessons that you have left us that point us to our Savior, thine own dear Son. He was not spared any wrath or judgment. He who is the chiefest cornerstone, yet he endured our punishment there on the cross, where he paid for our sins and bore them in his body there. We thank you, Father, that he died for us, that he was buried, and that he lives forever. And we thank thee that we can have faith in him and receive him into our hearts and have life, eternal life with him in heaven above. We give thee thanks for this time and for each other. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.